For many Americans, those days of permission slips and rulers across the knuckles and hickory switches or paddles are but a memory. But it turns out that corporal punishment in schools is still legal in 21 states and used routinely. And that's according to a new report by Human Rights Watch and the ACLU. The report says nearly a quarter of a million of children were paddled or spanked in the classroom last year, and researchers believe the number could be a bit higher. Mississippi was the state which represented the highest percentage of incidents. And Evan Cuzzo taught in elementary school in the Mississippi Delta for 3 years. And he joins us now with his thoughts. Welcome, Evan. What went on in your school?
Daily, there were instances of corporal punishment where students would be paddled either in a classroom or the hall or the office or the cafeteria.
And what kinds of things were kids getting in trouble for?
Well, corporal punishment was just the default disciplinary action. So it could be throwing paper across the room, talking back to a student, or more severe discipline issues like getting in a fight or assaulting a teacher or just using very, very harsh language towards an adult or another one of their classmates.
How did the kids react to this?
Well, it's interesting because in the Delta and in a lot of other rural districts, corporal punishment is just such a part of the culture of education that it doesn't seem to faze them much. They go to school fully expecting that they'll be paddled, and often those expectations are met. It doesn't seem as outrageous as it does to somebody who didn't grow up in one of these places where corporal punishment is used.
And how did teachers talk about it? You say it was it's something accepted, it's a part of school culture and a part of ways that teachers discipline their students.
Yeah, so I didn't come from the Mississippi Delta. I just taught there. I was in the Mississippi Teacher Corps, which is a program a lot like Teach for America. And when I got there, I was encouraged by local teachers to use corporal punishment. They actually told me that if I don't use corporal punishment, if I don't paddle my students, that I'm going to lose respect for them and the whole year will be a loss, all because I won't paddle them. It turned out to not be true, although there were teachers in my program and in Teach for America that came into the Delta saying, no, I'm not going to use corporal punishment. I don't think it's right, but for whatever reason, they ended up using corporal punishment as their go-to.
Do you think it works? Or I should ask, really, what was the goal of using corporal punishment, and do you think it worked from what you saw?
Well, if the goal of corporal punishment is to stop misbehavior, no, it clearly does not work. I'm not exactly sure what the goal is for those teachers that do think it works. It's like I said, the only real disciplinary action that's taken against students, short of suspending them or expelling them. And students may improve their behavior for 30, 40 minutes after a paddling, but, you know, the next day certainly they'd already forgotten about when they were paddled.
Short memories. Evan Cuzzo, I'm going to ask you to hold on for 1 second because I want to bring Alice Farmer into this conversation. She's a fellow at Human Rights Watch, and she was an author on this report. Welcome, Alice.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Mississippi, far from alone in handing out corporal punishment in the schools. Among all the states, did you find some discrepancies in gender or in race as to how it's dished out?
Yes, we did. When we look at the data, we found that African-American students receive corporal punishment more than would be expected, and special education students also receive a disproportionate amount of corporal punishment. I think one number that illustrates that pretty well is that in the 13 states that paddle most heavily, African-American girls are twice as likely to be paddled as white girls.
And why did you think that is? Did you come up with some reasons you may think that conclude that?
Well, this report doesn't really speculate about the intention of the teachers. We just looked at what the data shows, and we've really been focusing on what we have the ability to prove. So we don't know why that happens.
And what conclusions did your study draw?
Well, the corporal punishment is far more far more prevalent than we thought it would be, and that it really does create a violent and ineffective school environment that makes it harder for students to learn. And because that's the effect it has for all students, that effect is compounded when you look at the disparate rates at which it's used against these students that already face obstacles in their education.
And Evan, what do you think about that conclusion, having actually seen corporal punishment in play?
I would tend to agree with it. Corporal punishment in my school did not solve the discipline problem. And it was often administered just as a blanket punishment to an entire class, whether or not an individual student was misbehaving or not. If a class was unruly, which, by the way, is usually a sign that there's a problem with the teacher, not the students. But if a class was unruly, they'd line up the entire class, have them stand next to each other in a hall with their butts out, and they just indiscriminately paddle every student. And if you're a good student in one of these districts, it's hard enough to get an education and to make it out. But if you start to fear going to school, or you start to, if you become anxious about doing something that kids do every day, mm-hmm. then it clearly isn't a healthy learning environment.
Evan Kuzo, thanks so much for joining us. He was a teacher in the Mississippi Delta for 3 years. And Alice Farmer, you get the last word here. What do you hope this information that you've compiled is used for? What's the next step here?
Well, Human Rights Watch and the ACLU would like to see a full ban on corporal punishment in the U.S. And while we're waiting for that to happen, and we want to push hard for that to happen soon, we'd like to see a moratorium on the use of the punishment against special education students, as they really are exceptionally vulnerable to being hurt by this issue.
Alice Farmer, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Alice Farmer is a fellow at Human Rights Watch and author of a joint report from the Human Rights Watch and the ACLU.
Hey, Adora. We're always on here at The Takeaway. I want to make sure everyone remembers that. You can catch up with us on Facebook, Friend Feed, Twitter. And today we're following the ongoing conflict between Russia and Georgia, security in Mexico, and remembering brands like Hydrox Cookies that are making a comeback.
We're also still on the campaign trail. Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein and our producer Adam Hirsch on the road to the Democratic Convention in Denver. And here's a thought from one of you.
With all the stuff that's going on in this political environment, wouldn't it be nice just to have an election right now, right this minute, and the winner becomes the president and the loser becomes the vice president,
huh.
And take all those financial dollars they're spending on commercials and everything and buy down the deficit?
Well, there's an idea.
Okay. Here's another takeaway for the day.
To some extent, Russia is now almost kind of exercising the demons of the 90s.
That's Clifford Levy, the New York Times bureau chief in Moscow. And remind you that if you've missed anything, go to thetakeaway.org. I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udogie, and you're listening to The Takeaway.